You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show first aired April 27th, 2024. In their quest to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and meet the goals laid out in Kitchener's Corporate Climate Action Plan, the city staff has been transitioning away from carbon-intensive energy sources. With version 2.0 of the Climate Action Plan prominently featuring Pivot Net Zero, the electrification of cars, light utility vehicles, and hand tools will continue, while city staff explores new avenues of reducing carbon emissions with larger trucks and construction equipment. The benefits of electrification reach farther than just the environmental realm, as the city has reported a payoff in staff experiences, citing a reduction in exposure to fumes, noise, and the weight of the equipment. Economic savings have also been noticed around maintenance costs and energy efficiency. On Earth Day this year, staff presented the updated Climate Action Plan to Council and shared some numbers on their sustainability efforts, including a 5% decrease in greenhouse gas emissions from the baseline year of 2016, a 70% reduction in energy use for streetlights after converting to LED, a 70% decrease in maintenance and fuel costs for the electrified small vehicle fleet, and a 13% reduction in energy costs per square meter for city-run buildings. Importantly, staff reported a decoupling of growth from greenhouse gas emissions, noting that fleet growth has risen 20%, but the growth did not lead to a 20% increase in emissions associated with the larger fleet. There is still a lot of work to be done in Kitchener's electrification efforts, as two-thirds of the city's fleet emissions come from medium and heavy-duty vehicles, which are the most difficult to replace with electrified versions, and that 43% of energy comes from carbon-intensive natural gas. However, new innovations and technologies are coming online, and city staff told council they would be adopting solutions in a financially viable way, and that the updated Climate Action Plan is a, quote, very practical and a very executable plan, unquote. This show features interviews with Kitchener's Director of Fleet, Matthew Lynch, and the city's Corporate Sustainability Officer, Anna Marie Cipriani, both of whom speak about the city's ongoing efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Winning unanimous preliminary endorsement on Earth Day, Kitchener City Council will vote on April 29th to officially endorse the updated Climate Action Plan, which includes the Pivot Net Zero program. Now for the interviews, starting with Matthew Lynch.
My name is Matthew Lynch. I'm the Director of Fleet for the City of Kitchener. So our fleet, at its core, we're a very heavy fleet. So because the City of Kitchener has a lot of utilities that we maintain, we have storm and sanitary. We have, our Kitchener gas and water utility. So we have a lot of really heavy duty equipment. But, you know, when we got down to, we go across our whole fleet, we have a lot of grass maintenance equipment, mowers, trimmers, that sort of thing. So, you know, the variety that we deal with at the core, it's a very heavy fleet. Everything from a line trimmer up to a 30-ton excavator.
Now, obviously, then, it is more than just cars. But can we start with cars? How much of Kitchener's fleet is electric?
Overall, it's a small number. But when it comes to the actual vehicles that can be electrified, we're actually pretty good. So we're over 50% of our cars are electric. So ever since 2016, we've only purchased electric cars when they're up for replacement. And when we move up to our larger class into SUVs and that sort of thing, so we've been purchasing hybrid SUVs as well. Most recently, there's a transit van, construction van, or utility van. So we've just purchased our first two that went in service late last year. We've got another four on order this year.
What about the larger vehicles, like the utility trucks or snow plows, some of the construction equipment? Are there plans to electrify those as well?
I established early on that, you know, we're going to electrify where we can electrify, when we can electrify. And that's kind of been the model going forward. I realistically don't see electric snowplow coming down the line. And if there is, it's going to be very expensive and to, you know, maintain and keep on the road. And of course, you know, when we're into a full plow cycle, going to limit our ability to continue having that snowplow on the road for a full 24-hour cycle, because there's going to be times where it's going to need to charge. So operationally, I think it's going to be a challenge to electrify certainly that class of vehicle. But it's not to say that we're not looking at alternative fuels. We're considering doing hybrid hydrogen systems. So we're exploring a lot of different variations in what we can actually do to lower our greenhouse gas emissions.
Jumping then to the other side of that, what about the smaller vehicles? Is there like a place for like cargo bikes, golf carts, or light utility vehicles that are electric?
Absolutely. I think we actually ordered 10 this year, 10 electric utility vehicles, and they're dispersed across the parks and cemetery applications. So again, it really, we spend a lot of time looking on how the vehicles are going to be used, and if they can actually be electrified. Of course, you need charging sources for some of this equipment, often an indoor or outdoor charging supply. So it's really dependent on how these vehicles and equipment are going to be used. So we spend a lot of time making sure we're making the right decisions.
Now, as we get into another growing season and a little more outdoor time for everyone, what new electric gear can community members expect to see from Kitchener's fleet?
A lot of our handheld equipment right now has been transitioned to electric. I'd probably say we're one third of our handheld equipment is gone electric. So we're really pushing that within our different groups. So whether cemeteries, parks, forestry. Forestry has been a big adopter of a lot of the electric chainsaws. Certainly the user experience has been really well received with that. So it's been really nice to see our Kitchener Fire people have adopted all handheld equipment within their different stations. So all the grass maintenance they do in the fire stations is all going to be done by electric equipment right now. So they've been a very big supporter of what we're doing. So.
How are employees benefiting from all this?
The employee experience has been really well received with these equipment. There's less fumes that they're having to deal with, coming back in their face while they're using this equipment. The uptime is better. As long as we have the infrastructure, like the extra batteries in place, they're certainly quite happy with what they're doing. They're generally quieter. So it's been really well received across the corporation.
Now, I know upfront costs are high. You mentioned that. Now, are they limiting?
Again, that's where we spend time to make sure that we're spending money properly. And that's, we want to make the investment where it makes sense, right? We can spend a lot of money doing a lot of electric things, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure we're going to get the use out of the equipment to make sure that the payback is what it should be, right? And that we get the greenhouse gas emissions down to where they need to be. So in terms of cost, it's slightly more to transition to an electric vehicle or piece of equipment, but we see the paybacks in terms of reduced costs of maintenance. So, at the end of the day, specifically when we talk about cars, we've seen a 70% reduction in maintenance costs over the first 6 years of an electric vehicle, which is quite a bit of money when you think about it. But, and that's taken into account, all the maintenance charging. So we've really done an apples for apples comparison across our car fleet. And yeah, we're seeing that sort of reduction in maintenance costs.
There's clearly knock-on effects as well, as if employee benefits are there with less physical stress for the work or negative health effects from any of the equipment. Now, you did say payoff. Has the city figured out kind of what is the length of the so-called payoff for these efforts?
We haven't gone down that road yet, and we haven't done an overall analysis that in depth yet.
Is there anything about this that, you're really excited about? Any specific parts of electrification or anything you're hoping is going to come down the line?
At the end of the day, I'm excited for the whole new energy transition overall. And I think electrification is just a piece of this puzzle. We have to reduce our greenhouse gases no matter what. That has to happen. But I think in the next 5 years, I think there's going to be a big transition towards, 100% renewable diesel. I think hydrogen is going to be playing a big part of what we do, especially in terms of, the size of equipment that we're operating. It's a really interesting time to be in this, and because I think it's going to move very fast. I think the technology is going to continue to evolve very quickly over the next 3 to 5 years, and so it is an exciting time to be in this world. Right. And we'll see where we can go.
Matthew Lynch closed with a note about support from council.
I think our leadership here at the City of Kitchener and right through to council, they recognize that the electrification is just a piece of what we're doing. And that's what's nice is that, we're not throwing, good money at bad, right? We're not wasting money. And that's what's important, I think, in all of this. We're really being strategic in how we spend this money and making sure that it makes sense in the long run. So I think that's key. And it's really nice being part of that, knowing that our council supports doing that and certainly considering the taxpayers' money at the end of the day, too.
Now we hear from Anna Marie Cipriani, who takes the conversation beyond the fleet and puts it in the context of the larger corporate climate action plan.
My name is Anna Marie Cipriani, and the title of my role with the City of Kitchener is Corporate Sustainability Officer. And, my work over the last number of years has really begun to focus on climate action. So be it meeting the challenges of climate change, adapting to them, or trying to mitigate the impacts. Our new climate action plan is called Pivot Net Zero. This is our second generation plan, and council is set to officially endorse it on Monday, and they did so on Earth Day. Electrification is one of three pathways that our plan is really focused on. So firstly, we want to look at energy conservation. Secondly, fuel switching and generating renewable energy. And so in a sense, electrification is really looking at a very efficient vehicle and then as well switching the energy source, classically from a fossil fuel type of source of energy to a non-fossil fuel, more renewable energy.
For the cars and trucks in the fleet, how are these vehicles getting charged? And will the electrification of the city's fleet be accompanied by an increase in publicly accessible charging stations?
So currently we have 45 electric vehicle charging stations, and many of those are fleet facing, which is an important focus on the City of Kitchener being able to begin to shift its vehicles and continue to deliver service to the community. Likewise, we have engaged in partnerships across our community, and you can see many of those EV chargers across our community. The infrastructure that we have so far has very much been able to allow us to electrify 50% of our passenger vehicles without a problem. And so I would think across our communities, this is also going to be the case. Yes, we will need infrastructure. And yes, we can rely on the infrastructure that we already have. But electrification is possible. And for our organization, we have not been limited by the infrastructure that we've been able to install.
Are there requirements to satisfy the city's climate change measures for contractors the city brings on or developers the city is working with?
Our corporate plan specifically focuses more so on what we can control in terms of, our own service delivery to the community. It does not set restrictions on our partners and anyone that we, do engage in business at this time.
Going back to the city's efforts to accelerate a corporate and community energy transition. Very recently, there's been some legal issues going on, an ongoing legal battle with the Ford government trying to force new neighborhood developments to have natural gas infrastructure installed. Do these government's actions affect the city's efforts to transition away from greenhouse gas producing energy?
As a natural gas distributor to our community, we are really positioned in a beautiful way as that utility is really a community utility. Underway right now, we do have a Kitchener Utilities clean energy strategy underway. And that body of work is going to position our utility well in meeting all the different challenges of a transition and the changes, as you know, you describe, in terms of different levels of government and differing and changing policies. So I think we're positioned well to, you know, to meet all of those different challenges. I think our clean energy transition strategy will be the, you know, really the best place where we'll be able to address the future of, you know, any additional distribution services within our community.
What are you most excited about in this electrification effort?
I think the aspect of how we have always done things, you know, all of us have done things in a certain way. And when new options become salient to us and available to us, the possibilities that they kind of unleash for an organization and a community are really rather exciting. And they can, you know, solve multiple challenges. So often they can solve, you know, the challenge of affordability. We've seen with, in a sense, our electric vehicles that their life cycle cost, you know, we've seen approximately 70% reduction in maintenance and in fuel costs. And so, you know, as we all really face an affordability challenge, right, in communities across Canada, this aspect of, you know, shifting how we have typically operated and it having those multiple benefits, that's what excites me a lot.
Upon closing, Cipriani adds an example of a climate change adaptation and energy efficiency measure the city developed.
The challenges of climate change are really a shared responsibility, and our community is, you know, set to see a 5-degree increase if business continues as usual. That is going to be really tough for us to weather. So in general, our community is set to be warmer, wetter, and wilder. And so the Pivot Net Zero body of work that is set for council on Monday night is really there to help to future-proof our service delivery to the community and to support a quality of life for residents. You know, in terms of being warmer, wetter, and wilder, right? You know, temperatures are fluctuating and continue to fluctuate. Overnight temperatures are not set to decrease the way that we're used to, you know, getting a bit of reprieve from hot days. Many people in our community really appreciate the ice making that we do, whether it's in an outdoor ice rink or in an indoor arena. But in the face of climate change, ice making, be it indoor or outdoor, is going to be more difficult to maintain and more costly as well. So if we look at arena ice, really interestingly, traditionally, arena ice is made with hot water. So, you know, the science behind it is that the solubility of gases in water decreases with temperature. So when we make ice, traditionally, we use hot water. And in order to make hot water turn into ice, it's a very energy intense practice. But we found a way to make ice from cold water, and you simply de-aerate the ice. And so we make this beautiful ice quality and have a really happy user experience, but there's less energy demand to make that same product. So with less energy consumption, the cost for energy decreases, and yet we can maintain that service in the face of climate change. Those are the kinds of things that I'm excited about, and being able to see new technologies and doing them more efficiently to make them affordable and available to everyone through climate changes.
You have been listening to an interview with Anna Marie Cipriani, the Corporate Sustainability Officer for the City of Kitchener, and before that, Matthew Lynch, the City's Director of Fleet. Both staff members spoke about their work within the City of Kitchener's Corporate Climate Action Plan and how efforts are proceeding to reduce the city's greenhouse gas emissions. Kitchener Council will vote on April 29th to adopt the updated Climate Action Plan, including the Pivot Net Zero component. This is Dan Keller from CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.